Hot Studios presents The Apparent Junction of Earth and Sky, Part 10. The truck began its death throes not far from the city, its nose still pointed east. Brendan sat there for a long time, just as the sun was setting, staring out at the horizon and wondering what to do next. Mika was better off without him, probably, especially now that he seemed destined to self-pity. What would he do back home? Get drunk on the beach? Watch the goddamn whales? Stand under the swinging, neon-pink carnival rides and pretend that the screaming kids didn't remind him of the boy? And what right did he have to complain, anyway? Kieran was still alive. Her family was gone. Dead. She would remind him of that every night, every time he cried over the things he lost. She would be right to remind him of it. If she didn't remind him of it, she was stupid, and that would make him angry too, especially after half a bottle of Jameson. Who knows what he would say to her? South. South was the way to go. There was an ocean there too, he reminded himself. It wasn't home, but he thought that even home wouldn't feel like home now, so what would it hurt? He could make it to the coast easily, even with this dying vehicle. He would see the ocean again. Maybe it would be quiet there. Maybe it would be peaceful. Maybe he could finally shake off the shackles of work and family and the things that used to be. For the first time in his life, he did something for himself. He turned off the abandoned highway and went south. He traveled in that direction until the front tires of the truck were stuck in sand. Brendan stared out of the dirty, smeared windshield and watched the whitecaps break over an empty beach. He pressed his forehead against the steering wheel and began to cry. There was a half-mile stretch of beach houses nearby, all of them empty. Brendan walked down the empty streets the next day at dawn, peering up at the windows. No life existed behind them. These were all the vacation spots of families. Most were probably wealthy. The rest saved up their measly paychecks for a few years just to spend a week here. When everything began to fall apart, they all ran back to their real homes. They all left this place. That was okay with Brendan. That was just fine now. At the far end of the beach road, where the street curved away from the ocean at a sharp angle, he found a coral-colored house. The ground floor was nothing but a garage, cold and unconnected to the rest of the house. There were some inner tubes there, an air compressor, pool noodles, and not much else. When he climbed the outdoor stairs to the second floor, though, he found that the balcony had an unbeatable view of the splashing waves. The front door was locked, but the wood of the door jamb was warped and untended. It took only a few swift kicks to knock it open. He stepped inside to the smell of mildew and dust. The place was perfectly empty, perfectly impersonal. Anonymous paintings of pastel palm trees hung from the walls. The refrigerator was empty, the microwave was clean. The toilet shimmered and reflected the sunlight that came in through the slits of the window blinds. There were no family photos here, no pet toys or high chairs. This was a place meant for renting, for moving in and leaving after a few days. It was devoid of a soul. Brendan didn't feel so different. It was an empty kindred spirit. His life over the next month was somewhat happy, if quiet. He would wake up with the sun, bathe in the ocean, walk along the beach hoping that he would see no one, walk into town to the local grocery store where he would pillage the shelves for canned food or pasta or bottled water, push his rattling cart back home like a homeless man, which, in fact, he was. Be sure to stop at the liquor store where everything is at a ridiculously discounted cost. eat, watch the waves, watch the dolphins, watch the sunset, eat again, stare at the walls, sleep, repeat. The only real excitement was the day he found an old, crooked boardwalk that went out into the sea and then fell away. It had no railings. Many of its planks were missing. It was unsafe and full of adventure. Beyond that, there was nothing special to his life in this place. There was the one night, of course. The night where he drank a little too much whiskey. The night where he stripped down to his underwear and, carrying the dark green bottle in his hand, walked across the cold pavement and the cold sand and stepped into the cold waves. He screamed then as the ocean washed across his knees. He screamed because he was drunk and he was alone and he was ultimately pointless. It was the scream of an animal, one that woke all of the sleeping life in a mile radius. Everything was quiet now. Things didn't scream anymore unless they were dying. But he was, in that moment, prepared to die. What did it matter? What difference did it make if one drunk, naked man walked into the water and never came back again? Who would bat an eye? Mika, maybe, who would think about him from time to time, who would assume that he was out traveling the country with a boy searching hopelessly for a dead woman. Maybe Kieran, but he never expected to see Brendan again anyway. It would only change the lives of the fish and crabs who would feast on his flesh as it bloated and decayed in the endless black water. He drank as much of the dry, biting liquid as he could, then tossed the rest of the bottle far into the ocean. The splash it made was slight compared to the crashing of the waves, and Brendan knew that his own life would cause a ripple just as insignificant. He pressed forth against the invisible water, the empty void that reflected the overcast night. There was nothing but black before him and above him, and he hoped to see nothing but black ever again. The water was cold, yes, but it enveloped him into nothingness, and wasn't nothingness easier than anything else? Wasn't it less painful? The endlessness was frightening and breathtaking. It was broken only by the caps as they foamed and then died. He stepped out until his boxers were under completely, until he was nothing but a floating torso in the loud, messy water. And then it was up to his neck, and he began to imagine all of the things that were swimming past him, all of the monsters that eyed him with suspicion and hunger. He let out his breath before pushing his head under the waves. And then he knew blackness. And then he knew soundlessness. And then he knew emptiness. But he gave up. When his lungs burned with fire and his brain began to panic, he lifted his head above the water with a furious gasp. Defeated, he let the waves carry him back to shore. He lay on the beach until the sun came up, shivering and dirty and smelling of salt water. And so his routine carried on. Wake, bathe, beach, store, liquor, lunch. The beach, the dolphins, the sunset. Dinner, walls, sleep. Another 2 weeks went by. It was then that he cut his finger on the opened lid of a soup can. He was careless now, a drone. Nothing much bothered him except for their faces, Mika and the boy. They came to him in nightmares, and he spent the rest of the day killing them with involuntary meditation and alcohol, and so he was in a trance most of the time. That cut woke him up, if only a little. It was deep, deep enough that the blood rising from his finger was dark red. This was not crayon red, it was almost mahogany. He wrapped it in a washcloth as he poured the cold soup into a bowl. It stayed wrapped as he ate with one hand. The blood soaked through and dripped onto the table in rhythmic plops, but by the end of the meal it was mostly clotted. He went to the bathroom medicine cabinet to look for anything, bandages or gauze or rubbing alcohol. What he found instead seemed to him almost a sign. There were pills, bottles of them. He couldn't imagine why they were there. Perhaps as the vacationing family packed up to head back home, they were simply left. Although he didn't know a single pillhead who would leave their choice of drug behind, it was more likely that whoever owned these bottles, whoever was facing dependency head-on, decided that the end of the world was as good of a time as any to give up the habit. They would walk away and leave the pills behind and face this crisis sober. For my family, they would think. Brendan smiled when he realized that the addict probably ended up killing their whole family because of a good old-fashioned combination of detox and the apocalypse. But there they were, a quicker route than drowning, a less painful route, a more direct route. He spent the next week thinking of reasons to stay alive. The boy? No. Mika? No, not anymore. The beach? Well, he had one here, and it wasn't doing him much good. The memories? The same ones that haunted his sleep and caused him to wake up in a cold sweat? The same ones that pushed that hideous scream forth from his deflated lungs? Or perhaps he should stay alive for life itself, for the very gift of being alive. But it would be no different than before. No different than sitting in front of that yellowing computer monitor with its green and black screen, sifting through numbers and looking around at that blank-slated cubicle. He had no vacation photos there. No family pictures. Only an outdated snapshot of Kieran as a baby. People would ask him how old his son was, and he would shake his head and say it wasn't his son, that it was his cousin, but it may as well have been his brother. That he had no sons, no wife, no family. That this job that caused a sinking, disgusted feeling in his gut was the only thing he had to live for. That, of course, and a kid who would one day grow to resent him, who would one day grow up and walk away and never turn back. This life was no better than that one. Not anymore. But he would not die at night. He would not die in the darkness. He would not die in the void. It was a Saturday morning, though Brendan didn't know it. He walked down to the beach in his blue jeans, shirtless and comfortably warm. The sun was behind him, not yet hot in its position behind the low clouds. He whistled as he walked, because why not? It was something old, something from his own childhood. A pop rock song from the radio. It made him laugh a little because he couldn't imagine that that song would be stuck in his head as he contemplated the last moments of his life. Brendan walked down the beach to the boardwalk. He stepped up onto its wide planks, being sure to impress upon himself the memory of how sand felt on his bare feet. As he crossed the boards, he was careful to navigate the broken pieces. That, too, made him laugh a little because it didn't really matter if he fell now. It didn't really matter if he speared himself on the broken splinters. Death would be slower, sure, but it would come, nonetheless. He sat alone at the edge of the boardwalk, his feet dangling over the water. It rolled up in huge waves and crashed around the supporting columns. As it fell away and retreated back, a smattering of small white barnacles was revealed. Each was alive, each was unique, each was individual, yet each was surrounded by hundreds, maybe thousands, of others. Brendan didn't move all day. He watched the waves and the tides and the gulls. The dolphins showed up as they always did. A flock of pelicans flew past the sun as it grew larger and more orange, nearing the place where the distant gray of the ocean met the distant blue of the sky. As the bottom of the fiery orb kissed the earth, he felt it was time. He pulled the bottle from his pocket. There were a lot of pills inside, mixed up and jumbled, each of them with names he could not pronounce. They made a sound like rain on an aluminum roof as they fell out onto his palm. Some were long and white, some were round and blue. Others had a greenish tinge. He didn't know them. It didn't matter. His mouth was suddenly dry, but his heart was slowing down. He was calm. He rattled them across the skin of his hand once more. He did think of the boy then. What else would he think about? If his life ever truly did have a purpose, if the last few decades changed anything at all, it was Kieran. And he thought that wasn't a bad mark to leave upon the world. The footsteps came to him slowly. They were only feet away when he first heard them. Brendan perked up, but he didn't turn around. He only waited. Almost 2 months on this beach without another living soul, and somebody shows up now. Bare shins and a pair of khaki shorts lowered themselves onto the planks next to him. The boy's feet hung out over the water a few feet away.
"I never did thank you," Karen said.
Brendan turned to him, half sure that he would see nothing, that the boy was a mirage. But there he was, stubble and pimples and shaggy hair and all.
"Were you at a rest stop when you decided to turn south?"
Karen asked.
"Yeah," Brendan said.
"Why?"
"You scared the shit out of the family inside. They thought you were one of those psychos going around shooting everybody for fun, but they remembered your truck and saw which way you were heading."
Brendan laughed out loud then, once. He held the handful of pills out in front of him and watched as they fell in a shower down into the waves. Kieran shook his head.
"You should have given up on me a long time ago,"
the boy said.
"Maybe," Brendan said.
Kieran clapped a hand on Brendan's back and hoisted himself up with it. The pressure was both obnoxious and comforting to Brendan, who groaned through a smile. When he was standing again, the boy held out his hand. Brendan took it and pulled against it as he got to his feet. They stood face to face in the dying sunlight, the pelicans in the distance making a return trip to wherever they nested, their bellies now full.
"We should go home," Kieran said.
Brendan turned to look at the remaining sliver of sunlight that hung over the horizon.
"Let's stay here for a few days," he breathed.
"Then, wherever you want to go." The boy nodded. They walked together in the faltering light toward the coral-colored house. He sang an old pop song from his youth and was surprised when the boy joined in at the chorus. For a second he wondered about all those dead musicians, the ones whose poetry was saved on his phone back home. And then, as the boy lit a cigarette and offered him another, Brendan smiled and forgot all about them. The Apparent Junction of Earth and Sky is a series of short stories available at noahwelsh.wordpress.com. You can purchase the collection in paperback exclusively on amazon.com, containing original photography by Aaron Budrow. This has been a production of Lava Lamp Studios.